Boeing says the Dreamliner is staying on its revised schedule. It looks as if Airbus will win the sales race, and there won't be a loser. And the DOT backs down on congestion pricing. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 11th, 2007. There was news of interest to airplane buffs, investors, and customers in Boeing's quarterly program update webcast on Tuesday. The company assured customers and investors the composite-bodied 787 Dreamliner remains on track for a first flight in early 2008 and entry into service by the end of the year. Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Scott Carson added the company plans to produce 40 aircraft in 2008 and another 69 planes in 2009, consistent with estimates given in October when a six-month program setback was confirmed. Bank of America securities analyst Robert Stallard tells Bloomberg that next month's scheduled first power-up will be, quote, the next date for investors' diaries. This is an important knowledge point at which the company can retire a significant amount of risk on the program, unquote. Pat Shanahan, who was named 787 program chief on October 16th, is supervising progress closely. Quote, we meet daily in the factory near the first airplane, unquote. One part of the 787 program is actually ahead of schedule. Boeing says it and the FAA have agreed on the 787's certification testing requirements. That's the first time in the company's history that that's happened before the start of flight testing. This is that time of year when industry observers sit back with a bucket of popcorn and watch the final airliner order numbers come in from Boeing and Airbus. And it looks as if, for now, Airbus has the lead in total orders for the year at 1204. That's 50 more than Boeing. But that includes some which Airbus converted from other canceled orders. So in net orders, Boeing leads, 1154 to 1095. But then, both manufacturers had 100 plane orders from DAE Capital at the Dubai Air Show, which are not included in their totals yet. And French President Nicolas Sarkozy visited China last month and came home with a commitment for 160 additional planes from Airbus, which may yet become firm orders by the end of the year. One thing is for sure, it's been a huge year for both companies, and for business and regional jet manufacturers too. If neither Boeing nor Airbus gets one more order, both will beat their previous records for a year. Okay, I'll stop now. I'm beginning to feel like Tim Russert on election night. It looks like the U.S. Department of Transportation is backing down on its threat of congestion pricing to reduce airport delays and force airlines to publish more honest schedules. The Wall Street Journal reports a coalition including the Air Transport Association and the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey fought the idea as illegal and expensive, adding it hasn't been tested on a large scale. ATA President James May called the proposal, quote, nothing more than an additional and unnecessary tax on passengers that has never been proven to work in aviation, unquote. The opponents of the plan prepared a PowerPoint presentation which concluded with a red apple with a bite taken out of it, a representation of what would happen to the New York economy, according to the airlines, if congestion fees were imposed. An unnamed official is reported to have told the Wall Street Journal, quote, you can't make them do it if they don't want to, unquote, adding that the agency is now focusing on other ideas. Turkish media reported Tuesday that a preliminary investigation into the November 30th crash of an Atlas Jet MD-83 near Isparta suggests the pilot may have become disoriented while on approach, despite good weather at the time. All 57 people on board died in that accident. As ANN reported, the aircraft departed late from Istanbul and was reported to have disappeared from radar at 1:36 a.m. local time while attempting a landing at Isparta's Suleyman Demirel Airport. Search and rescue crews found the wreckage on a mountaintop about 4 hours later, 7 miles from the airport at an altitude of about 5,000 feet. Officials say there's no indication of sabotage. Turkey's Civil Aviation Authority and Atlas Jet officials have so far declined to comment on the record. Up next on ANN, NASA races to save the Spirit rover from the death of its batteries. A new study of the moon's gravity may provide clues about the Earth. And will Orion land on airbags or splash down in the ocean? You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 12, 2007. On the web, you can find us at Aero, that's AERO-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. NASA engineers are becoming concerned that the Mars Spirit rover may miss a deadline to reposition itself in time for the Martian winter. If the craft cannot be parked with its solar panels aimed at the sun by Christmas, it risks starving its batteries beyond the point of recovery. Both rovers, Spirit and Opportunity, fell victim to Martian dust storms, which coated their solar arrays, reducing efficiency to 70% 2 winters ago and 50% last year. In the meantime, winds have helped clear dust from Opportunity, but Spirit hasn't done as well. Program officials say Spirit's solar panel efficiency could drop to 30% this winter. If the craft can't maneuver to a sunny spot and angle its panels to the optimum angle for recharging during 7 months of dormancy, it may be lost. Right now, Spirit's battery is being recharged so slowly that it must rest one day after each move, and time is running out. The twin Mars rovers have outlived their intended 90-day mission plans many times over and continue to make discoveries of great value to scientists. At a Monday meeting of the American Geophysical Union, NASA's Associate Administrator for Science, Alan Stern, announced a new mission to peer deep inside the moon's anatomy and history. The Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory Mission, or GRAIL, will cost $375 million, and it's scheduled for 2011. GRAIL will orbit twin spacecraft around the moon to measure its gravity field in unprecedented detail. The mission will provide scientists a better understanding of how the moon, the Earth, and other rocky planets in the solar system formed. The study technique was pioneered by the joint U.S.-German Earth Observing Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment Mission, or GRACE, launched in 2002. The GRACE satellites measure gravity changes related to the movement of mass within the Earth, such as melting of ice at the poles and changes in ocean circulation. As with GRACE, both GRAIL spacecraft will be launched on a single launch vehicle. NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, will manage the mission. The spacecraft will be built by Lockheed Martin Space Systems. We've been hearing for quite a while about NASA's Orion space capsule and how it will be a replacement for the retiring shuttle fleet in the next decade. But despite all the work done so far, one major design issue has yet to be resolved. Will Orion return to Earth using the splashdown technique used by early U.S. manned capsules, or over land as pioneered by the Soviet Union? One thing is for sure, Orion will use a parachute and will not have wheeled landing gear. That means a land-based recovery would need to be on the money every time, or pose serious risks to both astronauts and residents on the ground. It would also require enormous airbags, which is 1,500 pounds NASA would prefer not to require in its budget for weight. A splashdown in the ocean would make precision in hitting the target less critical, but would subject the craft to salt water, which is problematic for a craft intended to be reusable. Jeff Hanley, manager of the Constellation program, which includes design of the Orion spacecraft, tells the Orlando Sentinel the costs for the two methods would be comparable, and that NASA engineers hope to reach a decision as soon as sometime next year. The first mission of the Constellation program is set for 2015. Aero News learned this week a United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket successfully launched a National Reconnaissance Office payload at 5:05 p.m. Eastern Time Monday from Space Launch Complex 41. This launch marks the fourth Atlas V mission this year and the 12th ULA mission in 2007. Jim Sponick, ULA VP of Atlas Programs, credited close teamwork with the NRO, the Air Force, and the 45th Space Wing at Cape Canaveral for the successful mission. Quote, "ULA is proud to have played a critical role for this important NRO mission. ensuring that our nation has the technology and spaceborne assets needed to acquire intelligence worldwide. ULA's next launch, which is currently scheduled for December 20th at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, is the GPS-2R-18 satellite for the Air Force aboard a Delta II rocket. Still ahead, a Boeing UAV crashes in the California desert. If you hire consultants to do your master plan, make sure they're not looking for other jobs. And U.S. Airways offers its employees holiday bonuses if they do their jobs well. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, December 12, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. A small Boeing unmanned helicopter crashed Monday afternoon during a test flight at the plane maker's Advanced Systems Test Facility in Victorville, California, burning about 1,600 square feet of ground, but causing no injuries. The A-160 Hummingbird came down in the desert 2.7 miles north of the Victorville airport at 2:08 p.m. local time Monday. Staffers at the control tower at Southern California Logistics Airport reported the accident to the FAA, but other details have not been released. The A-160 was initially developed under a DARPA contract by Frontier Systems, later bought out by Boeing. The unmanned craft is designed to fly 2,500 nautical miles with endurance in excess of 24 hours. The helicopter can be flown autonomously with payloads of up to 1,000 pounds. The A-160 is 35 feet long with a 36-foot diameter rotor, has an estimated top speed of 140 knots, and a ceiling of 30,000 feet. Boeing's Phantom Works division successfully completed a 12-hour test flight October 12th. Eventual roles are to include reconnaissance, surveillance, target acquisition, communication relay, and precision resupply. The Sacramento Business Journal in California reports that the loss of a team of consultants has stalled master plan development for two small airports in Sacramento County. Key members of the staff of Parsons Brinckerhoff, the original consultant, reportedly left the company when it sold its aviation business. The county tells the paper that it will have a new consultant soon for both Sacramento Executive Airport and Franklin Field. Airport master plans dating to 1979 are to be updated to cover development into 2025. The switch in consulting firms is expected to set the process back 6 to 9 months. The paper reports more than 20 aviation-related businesses are currently located at Executive Airport near downtown Sacramento, while Franklin Field is primarily a VFR training field. New plans for both facilities are expected to be completed by the end of 2008. The Associated Press reports U.S. Airways will pay its employees $100 bonuses if flights leave on time and bags don't get lost during the holidays. To earn the bonus, workers will have to meet specific performance goals through December. At least 60% of flights must depart on or before their scheduled times, and no more than 7 per 1,000 bags must be mishandled. Each goal is worth $50 to the company's roughly 36,000 employees for a maximum of $100 each. And finally, try and remember back to when you were a kid. If you saw a big red button that said, "Do not press except in emergency," admit it, the temptation to push such an important button was almost overwhelming. Officials with Augusta Aerospace at Philadelphia's Northeast Airport will no doubt rethink how they conduct their family day tours after a kid hit that irresistible big red button and not only filled the company's hangar with fire suppression foam, but also flooded the apron a few feet deep and even sent chunks blowing in the wind. The Philadelphia Fire Department responded to the unscheduled drill and got the mess cleaned up. There were no injuries, and the stunt did produce some spectacular video for TV news departments nationwide. It was really cool. It actually looked like a larger version of what happens if you load the dishwasher with regular dish detergent instead of dishwasher soap. You could fill your kitchen waist deep with suds if you make that dumb mistake. Or so I'm told. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Dr. Brent Blue, a doctor, 9,000-hour pilot, and FAA medical examiner. He's going to tell you some things you might not have known about carbon monoxide. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.